Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
On a Tuesday, usually it's a Thursday, but we're glad you're with us tonight. So,
yeah, we had a little bit of a problem last Thursday. I went to sign on the studio here on Blog Talk Radio, and apparently they were having a few little problems with technical issues, and so we weren't able to do our show. So Our guest graciously agreed to come tonight and spend the evening with us. So we scheduled a new show just for her, and we're so thankful you guys are here. So anyway, Lisa, it's been a busy week, hasn't it? We've been both of
it
us
has
been kind of crazy. Kind of crazy
yes,
this
it
week.
It has been. Getting ready for homeschool for me, so getting my stuff together and getting all my books. I've got all my books together and everything. I'm just putting the classroom together and studying as the teacher and everything, getting my teaching stuff together. So it's been busy, but it's been fun. I've had fun.
I know. I just can't believe it's almost time for school to start already. Where did the summer go? It's like you blink and it's over.
Crazy, isn't it? It has.
I'm sure the kids are. I'm sure the kids aren't thrilled, but you know, a lot of parents out there are going, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah.
I remember being that way with my kids. You know, you love them during the summer, but you're very thankful when it's time to ship their little butts back to school. But you're doing it at home, so you're a lot braver than I ever was. So.
Right, I'm doing it at home, and yeah, it's been pretty good. I'm enjoying it, so.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our show tonight. Like we said last Thursday, the Long Talk Radio had their little share of gremlins running around in their system. So tonight, I was in total panic mode too. But anyway, tonight, it's going to get hot here on Deadly Reads Radio because we are going to be spending the evening with award-winning and best-selling author Linda Mooney. Now, Linda, she loves to write sensuously erotic romance with a fantasy, paranormal, or science fiction flair. Her technique is often described as being as visual as a motion picture or a graphic novel. As wife, mother, grandmother, and retired kindergarten and music teacher, there you go, you get some hints from her on teaching stuff. She lives in a small South Texas town near the Gulf Coast where she delves into other worlds filled with daring exploits, adventure, and intense love. She has numerous bestsellers, including 10 consecutive number ones. In 2009, she was named Whiskey Creek Press Torrid's Author of the Year, and her book, My Strength, My Power, My Love, was named 2009 WCPT Book of the Year. In 2011, her book, Lord of Thunder, was named the Epic Ebook Epi Award winner for Best Erotic Sci-Fi Romance. In addition, she writes naughty erotic romances under the name of Carolyn Gregg and horror under the pseudonym of Gail Smith. Wow, it sounds like this lady is one busy author. So why don't we give Linda a nice, warm Deadly Reads welcome and greet her, and let's start this interview. Hey, Linda, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great. Thank you for letting me be on the show tonight.
Oh, we're just thrilled to have you here. Linda's actually doing this via road trip tonight. She's traveling. You want to let everybody know what's going on with you?
Oh, I left my little town on Monday, spent the night in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm now near Montgomery, Alabama tonight, and tomorrow I'll be at Savannah, Georgia for the Authors After Dark Authors and Readers Convention, which will be from Wednesday through Sunday, and then I'll turn around and head on back. But it's a multi-author and reader event that it's just going to be fabulous because it's not just a book signing. You get to be with authors and talk with them, and there's going to be ghost tours, and there's going to be panel discussions, and there's going to be, I'm going to be hosting a How Well Do You Know Your Romance Novels game show with prizes. So there's just a lot of things that are going to be going on. And Saturday, they're also opening up to the public for the book signing. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'll make the last leg of the trip tomorrow. So I'll be there. I'll be arriving there sometime tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, it sounds like you have a great weekend. The rest of the week sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for you.
No, yes, and leaving my husband alone with our two dachshunds and all that they can get into.
He
goes, they don't mind me as well as they mind you, and I'm going,
Now you're supposed to sit the little doxies down and give them a heart-to-heart talk to behave themselves while daddy's watching and mommy's going to be away. Now, please tell me you didn't do that. You didn't leave the house without giving them the talk to you.
They're just like kindergarten kids. They have selective hearing.
They actually listen better than kids.
Yes. Like everybody else's kids, they listen to what they hear, what they want to hear.
That's true.
Lisa has little dogs too, so she can totally relate. Now, Lisa.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How fun. Well, let's get started because we have a lot to talk about tonight. Now, we've already got a little detail. Now, we do know that you live down here in South Texas. You're another Texan like me. Woohoo! Next to the Gulf Coast.
Go tell you what. Oh.
Do you ever use any of that in your books, the fact of where you live, or does that kind of inspire you for any of your stuff in your books?
Yes. I have, of all my sensuous stuff and my naughty erotic humor stuff and all my horror, I do have one contemporary, and it is a Christmas theme, and it's the only suite that I have, and it takes place right there on the Texas Gulf Coast, but I've written book called A Different Yesterday takes place in Central Texas, and I even created a Texas town based on some towns in Central Texas. It's a post-apocalyptic, and it takes place there in that made-up Texas town. And The Gifted takes place. There's that one, and then the second book is called The Gifting. It takes place at the NASA, at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And all. And I did a couple of tours there with the Johnson Space Center and kind of got a really good idea. And, of course, they were really curious as to why I was taking notes, you know. And
Are you a spy?
Boy, you're really studying this place. You know, what are you again? I'm a writer. Trust me. I mean, but I could get, you know, an idea of what the Johnson Space Center was like. So when I wrote about it, I would have an idea of how everything was laid out and stuff. So,
Linda and I always laugh and tell Joe, you know, about if they ever, how do you say it, Linda, if they ever, the FBI ever checks your records.
Your research.
Your browser history, huh?
Yeah, your browser history.
That's the one. Yep. They'd probably be sending in the SWAT team, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
I always laugh about that because one of my books, I was researching how to make bombs. You know, Molotov cocktails and all that stuff. And I'm out here typing away, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I looked at my husband, and I said, oh, shit. And he's like, what's on? I said, if you knew the kind, you know, because I was asking him earlier, and he was explaining, because, you know, he wasn't exactly a good boy when he was younger, but he's explaining, you know, things that he knew, but I really wanted to get some more intricate things, and so I'm Googling them and everything, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I said, oh, my God. I said, well, if the SWAT team, is it going to bust the door down? He says, well, if it does, we won't know. It'll be over with what's over with. So, that's the joy of being a writer, isn't it, ladies?
It is.
Oh, yes. Yep. It's a good excuse.
Yeah, it is a good excuse.
Oh, well, that's what keeps us interesting. We can sit and laugh at ourselves.
Yeah,
okay.
The only place you can kill somebody and get away with it.
That's right. Yep, that's very true. Now, how do you incorporate erotic romance with fantasy, paranormal, science fiction? How do you do that on the way?
Well, the first and foremost to me, when I write my romance novels, even though the romance is first and foremost, I build a plot of, you know, a story around it. And so that when the hero and heroine, you know, finally come together for the consummation, that's where the sensuous part comes in. Mm-hmm. And so my books aren't so much they're, you know, sex books with a plot. They're more of a story with, you know, the romance built inside of them. But now my Carolyn books, now the difference between my books and Carolyn's books, well, Carolyn's books are mostly humorous, erotic, but Carolyn uses certain verbiage that I don't use in my book. You know, certain terms for certain parts of the anatomy. Or as we say down in Texas, we don't use the farm animals. But Carolyn does. And that's pretty much the difference between her stuff and my stuff. Now, she does do some paranormal and some contemporary, and she just kind of has a mixed mixture of everything. But mine are pretty much paranormal fantasy with urban fantasy and, of course, the sci-fi. So.
Now, I have to giggle because you talk the same way about your Carolyn, the way I talk about one of the synonyms I use. Because it's like it's this whole other identity. This, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to put on this hat, and then I'm going to put on that hat, you know. And it's funny how we do that, you know, how that one entity all of a sudden comes out, and it's like you get done typing, like, where the heck did that come from, you know. But it's
just,
it's fun.
My editor laughs, you know, she says, I see a distinct difference between the two kinds of books that, you know, when you're Carol and when you're writing Linda. And even I've got to give kudos to A.D. Rowland, Ash. She was by Ash Arsenault. She does a lot of my covers for me. And she knows that when I say, okay, I've got another Carolyn Gregg book, you know, she says, oh, my God, what's it going to be now? She just doesn't know where I'm going to be coming out. I mean, this is just like way out of nowhere. And she just finished a cover for me, and I'm in the middle of doing that one story. And she says sometimes she'll get, like, I'll say, I want this picture, I want this title and all, and she'll say, and I end up, like, spitting coffee out on my computer keyboard when I see what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think when you do that, when you write erotica, or when you're an author and you write something, you know, like romance, and then you write fantasy or horror, and then you turn around and have this other persona that you write erotica, I think writing erotica is more fun. You can have more fun writing erotica than you do. That's just my opinion.
Because you can
let yourself go.
Yeah. Well,
and not,
yeah.
you know.
Well,
so.
Well, Carolyn writes erotic, but not erotica.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So.
Okay.
Okay. See, now I have my persona. I might as well say it. I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. I write under Darina Lasser, and Darina is pretty hardcore, you know. And yeah, pretty
she
hardcore
would be erotica.
Stuff. Erotica, yeah. And Darina, and I remember the first one I wrote under Darina Lasser, as Darina Lasser, I'll say, you know, the persona. And I got done reading it, you know, I got done doing it, and I read it, and I was like, holy smokes, where'd this come from? And then my husband just looked at me and goes, Linda, it's always been there, you know, you've just forgotten it over the years. You know,
oh,
okay.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. See? It's your dark side coming out.
Yeah, well, that's that side that I've hidden away for years because, you know, I had to be a mom and all that stuff for years. You got to be a good girl when you become a mommy. But,
yeah, well, when people find out that I'm writing romances, and then they actually read one of my books or something like that, and then if they know my husband, they turn to him and they go, "Where is she getting these ideas?" he goes, "Well, I'm her inspiration." And
oh my goodness, that is a husband for you. That's too funny. But now you also write under Gail Smith, your horror now. Why did you decide to write horror under a different name?
Well, basically, because I wanted people not to think that I have all the names, on my website. When you go to my website, you click on books, it'll take you to all the different ones. I even have kindergarten workbooks there and all.
But I wanted
people to know that, you know, when they pick up a Linda Mooney, that it's going to be, you know, this kind of genre or this kind of book. When they pick up Carolyn, they know they're going to get naughty, humorous. And when they pick up Gail, they know they're going to get horror. I didn't want them to pick up, you know, and not know. It kind of helps separate the genres.
That's a good idea.
But I have all of them there. But Gail is my middle name, and Smith is my maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
wasn't too difficult.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I had
to hide
Carolyn Gregg the whole time I was teaching. And I couldn't come out of the closet, so to speak, until after I retired.
Right.
Out of your retired. Yeah, well, I could see some parents, you know, people get kind of weirded out, you know, but.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. I really should have done that because I primarily started out writing dark thrillers, kind of dark, twisted stuff. And then I wrote my one YA fantasy, and it's so different than my other, but I did under Linda. I probably should have done it under a whole different name, shouldn't I have? Because it's so different than my other book.
I just did it that way so that people could easily tell the difference between. So when I'm advertising a new release and on my Twitter and my blogs and everything, because I have four blogs. And
oh, my gosh.
When I advertise them, they're fun. I mean, the Carolyn one is the Carolyn blog is called Musings and Mayhem. And so you never know what you're going to find there. And then, of course, my Gail Smith one are all horror related. And, of course, then there's the kindergarten blog that I still do even after 2 years. And then my Linda one. But when I advertise my books, then they have an idea that, okay, it says Carolyn Gregg. Then they know that the sex is going to be a little bit more raunchy.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that's my branding, you know.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, Linda Barton. You're saying to brand yourself as a thriller, thriller as your brand, and then you should have written something else and have that as a different name to brand yourself. So I did the same thing, you know. I write romance, and then I write dark fantasy, and so it's hard to brand those two together. So,
Now, I did my children's book. I did them under a different name. I did them under Nana Barton, you know, because that's what the grandkids call you, Nana.
Yeah, I did that too.
My
kindergarten workbooks are under L.M. Mooney.
Mm-hmm. So, okay,
you know.
Cool.
But
all right.
I said, when you go to my website and you click on book, and this is what's funny is that I have had so many people contact me about my website, and they'll say, you know, I also work on websites. I had this one lady who said, I work on websites. Would you like, I have a role, would you like to see my rates? And I said, oh, no, thank you. I do my own website. And she goes, yeah, but it doesn't look like a regular website. It doesn't, you know, and then she said, it doesn't look, professional. And I said, well, my website is the way I want it. And when you do, it doesn't look like anybody else's website. I didn't want it to. It looks like you're in the middle of outer space. You really do. And you have to travel to a star to get to, you know, whatever your destination is or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's
she was just trying to make some money, that's all.
Yeah. So when you click on, like, L.G. Mooney for kindergarten, then, you know, the background, it looks different again. It looks, you know, child-related. And when you click on Gail Smith, then you get this horror-looking, you know, section. And the same thing for Carolyn. So they're all different, per se, you know, to reflect what the content is.
I was surprised. I want to, hats off to you, lady. When I went on there to steal images to put on the slideshow for the show, and then to put in the video that we're going to have on your on the Desiree's channel of your show tonight. Goodness sakes, girl, you published a lot of books. I found cover
close to 100.
I was like, goodness sakes, this lady's been busy. Yeah, I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Have a hard time finding enough images for the slideshow for you at all. Some people are really, you know, some guests are really good. They sent a whole bunch of pictures, and others, you know, we hardly get any. And so I usually go in there and start snooping around, and I found your website, and I went on there, and I was like, oh, no problem here. I just started copying your images, you know, of your book covers, and I thought, goodness sake, you've been busy. You're quite the prolific writer. I'm impressed. Very good.
Well, thank you. The thing is, I started out writing fan fiction back in the 80s and 90s. And I decided I didn't want to keep writing fan fiction. I wanted to write something of my own without somebody else's Bible, you know, to guide me.
Right.
And so I started writing my own stories. And I contacted friends, and I said, would you read this? And kind of like back then, we didn't have beta readers. So basically, you got your friends, and you said, would you read this and tell me if you find anything wrong with it?
Mm-hmm.
And my friends were saying, they would send me the books back, and they would say, stick to the fiction. Stick to the fan fiction, because this isn't very good. And I said, they said, trust me, you know, I'm your friend. I know what you're, you know. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. So these books I would put on a floppy disk and stick in a drawer. Well, in 2001, my husband had a heart transplant, and we were in Houston, and we were in recovery mode, and I had my computer and all. And finally he says, you know, you've spent the last 3 years, you know, with me hovering on this threshold here. And he says, and spend all this time with me and taking care of me. He says, it's time you did something for yourself. He says, have you ever thought about publishing one of your books? And I said, honey, they're not any good. He says, how do you know? I said, well, my friends told me so. And he says, did you ever think that maybe they told you that because they were jealous? And I said, well, you know, they're my friends. I trusted them. He says, look, he says, what would it hurt? So I did some, for about another couple of years, I did some inventory, and I joined RWA, and I checked. I went to Houston to one of the meetings, and they were talking about how to submit your book to a publisher. This is when e-publishing was just coming around, just starting out. And I was trying to get an agent, and nobody would touch my stuff because the majority of books coming out that were romance were either the historical or the contemporary, you know, the bodice ripper type books and all whatever. And my stuff was like an unwanted stepchild. It was not in those genres. So, but the thing with e-publishers is that they were willing to take the risk with those kind of books, and they were looking for something different. So I went to the meeting, and I said, I took all these notes, and the one thing that I didn't, I mean, everything that she said to do, these people said to do, I was doing except for one thing. And she said, you know, follow their guidelines specifically. They say, this is what they want you to submit. This is what you do. But if they, you know, even if they say, we do not accept multiple submissions, she says, do it anyway. Right. And I figured, I raised my hand, and I figured, you know, she doesn't know me from Adam. So I, you know, I didn't have anything to lose. And I said, what if I send this one book out to several publishers and more than one of them want my book? And she says, well, don't worry, it won't happen. She says, if you send it out to five publishers, she says, two won't, most chances are three will reject it. You'll never hear back from two of them, and maybe one, if you're lucky, will want it. I said, but what happens if they do? And she says, well, then you'll have to make a, you know, decide which publisher you want. I said, but then you could have lost a really good working relationship with a publisher, you know, who could have, you know, taken on another book or a different book or whatever. And she says, don't worry, it won't happen. So I went home, and I was telling my husband about this, and I said, this is the only part that I didn't agree with her, because I'm one of those that, you know, they said, we don't accept this. It, being a teacher, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to cross that line at all. So it's just an ethical thing with me. And so he said, well, how many books do you have sitting in the drawer? And I said, I have six finished. And he says, well, what? He says, can you find six different publishers? And I said, yeah, I can find six different publishers. He says, well, why don't you do this? Send one book out to each publisher. And then, because by then it was like you would wait 3 to 6 months to hear back from them. And he says, then when one rejects a book, then you can just send it to the next publisher, you know, that kind of thing, and just kind of keep a tabs of who's got what. I said, okay, mm-hmm. not a problem. I'll do that. So I sent out six books to six publishers and got six contracts.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, now you're like, yeah.
Well, no, each one of them got a different book, and each one of them contracted them. So,
oh.
But things have changed a lot since then, mm-hmm. and all. And in fact, all of those publishers are no longer in existence. They're no longer around,
oh.
and all.
Uh-huh.
And all. And I've since gotten, you know, many of my books back. The last one was Whiskey Creek Press, because they were bought out by Start Media.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, by this time, self-publishing's coming about. So
mm-hmm.
I am putting new covers on them, and I'm re-editing them and everything, and ISBNs and all, and releasing them. I only have one book left that is with a publisher, and that's my one with Harlequin. And when that one is contract, that one's contract should be up in about a year and a half, and when it is, then I'm going to go back and re-edit and re-release it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be fully independent.
Fully. Now, in your opinion, do you recommend people going the traditional or the independent or kind of a mixture of both?
Well, I think at the beginning, there wasn't any independent. And I think that I gained a fan base started because they were used to going to a particular publisher, and then, you know, they were like regulars for that publisher. They were always reading new releases. There are pros and cons to being with a regular publisher, and one of the pros is that they do have their own fan base, you know, of
mm-hmm.
loyal readers who buy and
mm-hmm.
read from them. But it's so. Yes, if you're willing to make sacrifices and very low, you know, results with royalties, low royalties, and the possible problems that could arise with being with a publisher, because you never know if they're going to disappear off the face of the earth, like
yeah,
they might
that's
have.
True.
And also, yeah, you could do it that way, but if you do try to go indie initially, it's a whole lot harder to get noticed,
mm-hmm.
and all, because you don't have anything to you don't have that behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So to
yeah,
speak, you know,
yeah.
That.
I agree.
Especially
and going
if
indie
you're a new
stuff.
Author. Yeah, especially if you're a new author like me. When I started, I knew nothing about it, and so I went the wrong direction and got involved with POD, you know, and
mm-hmm.
didn't make any money out of it. And it took me 5 years to get my book back, you know.
Ooh.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's so all these new authors out there, they either need to get under the umbrella of another indie author that's been in the business for a long time that kind of take them under their wing would be a great thing to do, or trying
mm-hmm.
to get published. That's my advice.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and part of the problem too is that there are so many scrupulous publishers
True.
Out there now.
Right.
That
yeah.
And I just got I have a friend of mine who had her first book, and she got with this publisher. And she,
mm-hmm.
by the time she'd spent $2,600 with this publisher
right.
to get her book published, and I'm
right.
going, no, publishers don't charge you.
Right.
I'm sorry. She says, but I'm going to get 100% of my royalties. And I said, are you putting it up on Amazon? She goes, no, she is. And I said, well, then you don't know you're going to get 100% of your royalties.
Right, that's right.
And
right.
And that
yeah.
that just so there's yeah. and there are a lot of them out there. A lot of these publishing
sure
companies
are.
That say, you know, we'll edit it, we'll give you a cover, and we'll convert it to ebook, and we'll put it up on Amazon, and you just pay us X amount of dollars, and then we'll give you all your royalties. You know.
Yeah,
and,
that's what a POD is, a publisher on demand. That's what they are.
Uh-huh. That's
mm-hmm.
wrong. That's.
Yeah.
That's,
well, they feed on people's hopes and dreams. You know, they feed on your hopes
yeah.
and dreams of being an author, and, you know, they
right.
know what to say, and they know how to say it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
you have no idea, you know. I mean, all of us
right.
started out not knowing, you know.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
I feel bad for people when they spend thousands and thousands of dollars and then have nothing to
mm-hmm.
show for it, you know. I mean,
right.
it's,
exactly.
It takes forever to break even again, you know.
yeah.
Yes.
And
that's right.
You know. But anyway, oh, okay. Well, let's take a really quick break. We got about 20-second commercial break. You know, we gotta feed the commercial stuff. So, we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a great book to curl up with after a long day? Do you love a steamy romance or a fantasy that will transport you to a mystical place? Or maybe you prefer a dark, twisted thriller? If so, then drop by deadlyreads.com and you can find your next favorite book written by Deadly Reads authors Lisa Vandeveer and Linda L. Barton.
There we go. And also, too, we want to tell everybody you need to drop by Linda's site also. We have her link here on the Deadly Reads show. And her Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Goodreads. And then if you can also go onto the Deadly Reads website, go into Deadly Reads Radio, go into the month of August or July. No, I think I still have you in July. And I need to move you to August now because it got all changed. But anyway, you can find all her social media links there also.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody still here or did I lose you guys?
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
here. It got so quiet, I thought, no, the gremlins from the blog talk got me.
Oh,
I panicked. Okay, well, tell us about your Whiskey Creek Torrid Author of the Year Award. That sounds like a cool title. What is that?
Well, it really shocked me. I got a notification from them. They sent me this email, and they said, we decided, this was back when, I can't remember the name of it, but it was where everybody was buying their books. It was before Barnes & Noble took it over, and it no longer exists now. But my book, Whiskey Creek, would every month, they would post the top five bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one book was their number one bestseller for several months. And then
mm-hmm.
finally I got this email from Steve Womack, and he said, we've never had an author of the year before, but we've decided that with your books, every time you release a book, it goes to number one. And they said, we've decided that we're going to create this new award, and we're going to call it the Torrid Author of the Year, because they had two sites. They had the one that was more of the sweet stuff that was just Whiskey Creek, and then Whiskey Creek Torrid
mm-hmm.
was their more sensuous and erotic side. And we're going to
mm-hmm.
make you our Torrid Author of the Year, and you're going to be the first one. And I was wow, I was blown away. So
that is really neat. Yeah.
And, so it's. Since, of course, they've had about four or five others since then, but they and now they don't have them anymore. But it was just something that I was. Well, I mean, you know, they sold to Start Media, so
mm-hmm.
Whiskey
right.
Creek per se is no longer. But it was just something just out of the blue, because I've never had anybody. Say, you know, we're going to reward you with something for your writing. And I was just, wow. And then just a few years later, my Lord of Thunder won the Epi Award, you know, which is the
Epic.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that next. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that just surprised me out of no end, because they kept saying, every year I would enter, you know, one of my books or two of my books, and, you know, never hear anything. And finally that next year, you know, Steve says, you haven't entered anything. And I said, no, I haven't. And he goes, well, why not? And I said, I've tried it every year. And he says, well, do you mind if we send this book in, because it's, you know, one of your bestsellers? And I said, sure, go right ahead. And next thing I know, I get this phone call from Steve saying, hey, congratulations, you've won the Epi Award.
Wow.
And about a week later, I got my award in the mail. And wow.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful. That's great. You know, it always makes you feel good when you know, after all the hard work you do, for it to be acknowledged.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, and that's wonderful.
But, you know, the funny thing is, my stuff is very different from what other people write. And it's very, very different. And it's, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll see people lamenting over the fact that, you know, I'm not going to be reading this genre anymore because they're the same old thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm,
and
I
want to say, no, you haven't read any of mine, because, you know, it's not like that. My editor, when I first met her and said, you know, I need a new editor, and she says, well, I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't like sci-fi romances. And I said, well, you know, that's okay. You know, as long, I just want you to edit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have to like it, just edit, yeah.
Yeah, just edit. But, you know, she was just kind of letting me know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And she came back, she goes, oh, my God. And I said, what? She says, are all your books like this? I said, well, not exactly like that. I said, but they're, she said, this isn't sci-fi. I said, yes, it's sci-fi. She said, it is sci-fi. But it's not like what I've been reading. You know, it doesn't have this or this or this or this. And I went, is that good or bad? She says, it's wonderful. She says, so she says, I now like sci-fi romances. And she just kind of goes nuts over them, you know. And I'll contact her. And like this one time I said, I've got this new book I want you to edit. And I said, it's not like anything I've ever written again. And she goes, just give me the basics. And I said, it's a sci-fi steampunk western.
Oh, gosh.
And she goes, say that again. I said, it's a sci-fi steampunk western.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, this is going to be interesting. And and she came back and she loved it. And it was just, I don't know what you're going to hit me with. When I get your stuff, she says, I don't know what I'm gonna find, and
that is an
I kind of like that though.
But you know what? It's always best to be the leader and not the one at the back of the pack.
That's
you
right.
know, because you know,
true.
Look, you know, look how long this vampire thing has gone on and on. You know, and it's like, you know, it's gone on forever. You know, and the shapeshifters and you know, and they're all the same. You know, it's like they cookie cutter. You know, and you just change the names and maybe the places a little bit, you know. And that's
mine
why, you know, that's why. But that's what I was just going to say, you know, like on Lisa's, you know, her series she's working on, you know, her Hellavan everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is so different. I mean, she's created these new creatures, you know, and I kind of told her one time, they remind me if you, you know, mixed a vampire and a werewolf together. You know, you kind of would have these Hellavan creatures. But they're so different in the way she's done it, you know. And it's you know, like you say, you know, yours are so different. And I think people, readers out there, are craving something new they can sink their teeth into, you know.
I keep waiting. People, it's really funny because I tell people, you know, I've got about, I almost have 100 books out. I'm getting close to that 100 mark. I said, but very few people know about me, and I don't know what I haven't done right to get noticed and all. Carolyn just released a book called E-Reptile Dysfunction, and it's about a snake shifter who has problems, and all. But he's a snake shifter, so it's he goes to a doctor and he's trying to find a problem. He's trying to find a solution to his problem, and that, like I said, it's not like I have the shifters. I'm finishing up book three of the subwoofers, which is the my five ex-military men who have a they're over by the way they're at Caddo Lake, Linda. They have a have a lodge out at Caddo Lake called Bagot and Taggot, and one is a bear, one is an alligator, one is a deer, one is an eagle, and one is a cougar shifter.
Oh, okay.
And they're all ex-military. Mm-hmm. And each one of them, each story is a different couple, a different guy meeting, you know, their forever mate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they are different, and it's so it's and then I have the Breacher series that takes some of the legends and all, and kind of does something different with them. They're like from another alternate world. So my first book was dealing with a Yeti, a Bigfoot. My second book was with a dragon, and my third book was with vampires. And that's my only vampire. Mm-hmm. But I don't have – this is basically the third book talks about Jack the Ripper as being a vampire and not – but he's from this alternate world. He's from this alternate world, and they have to go – these people are by the government. They're the tagline is – it takes a vampire to kill a vampire. And
go. But see, you gave it a different twist. You gave it a different twist.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the it's these two people are hired by the government to go over to England to track down what seems to be the Jack the Ripper is back again, and they think he's a vampire or what they call a garfar in their language. Mm-hmm. But it's the woman who is the girl in the book is the vampire, and she's tracking this guy down, and it so it just goes off in a completely different tangent,
right?
And
but you know,
and I think part of it is
don't feel bad that you haven't gotten noticed. I mean, there's a lot of books out there, and you know, like I keep telling Lisa, it's so different. Yours are so different. Hers are so different. Somebody's going to find them. They're going to talk and tell their friend, and it's going to explode from there. You know, it just takes the right group of people grabbing it and running with it, you know.
Yeah, it does,
You know, and another thing that I like to do is I like to pair my couples, a human, with an alien. And I've done that with my Runner's Moon. Neverwild is my current series. It's going to be six books. I've just finished book four. It just came out recently, where she's an Earth girl, an Earth woman, and the hero is an alien from another world, and they're supposedly bitter enemies, but they have to learn to work together to survive on this half-world planet that they crash-landed on.
Right.
And he's an alien, so everything he does is alien.
Yeah.
And then my book with Harlequin is the same thing. The heroine is a psych. She has psychic powers with her mind. She's human, so to speak. And the hero is an alien. We're talking about with horns and you know the whole thing. So sometimes I have to check with my editor, and I say, now did I gross you out? Did I squick you out with something? No. She says, no, because that's an area that you're afraid of offending people. And another book that I did the same thing to was His by Right, where the woman is kidnapped and made to go work on this spaceship that is basically a brothel. So.
There's a question I want to ask you before we run out of time, and you brought this up you're saying that you're afraid that getting too graphic or whatever. I noticed on one of your descriptions is some of your books is a motion picture graphic novel. Can you tell us about that?
My editor says this. I've had readers contact me, and basically what they're telling me is that when they're reading it, they can see it in their mind right. like a motion picture yeah. when they're reading it. It's like
right.
it's like that could go right on the screen, and I can see it right. exactly as it's happening. Because
right.
the way I write third mm-hmm. person, and the way I write is I'm the bystander standing here, and I'm taking notes, and I'm writing it down as it happens in
right.
front of
mm-hmm.
me. So that when you're mm-hmm. reading it, that's how it'll appear to you, where you
yeah,
are the bystander and you're seeing it happen.
Mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people say that about me. So that's why that I found that interesting that they were saying that about you too. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
that's a good talent to have, that you can create that image mm-hmm. in the mind of the reader so that they feel like
yeah.
they're engrossed
mm-hmm.
in the story themselves. That's
right.
a good talent to have, and that.
It
you know, any
time
a reader mm-hmm. tells you that, you just kind of sit and grin, and you know,
yeah,
that's what I meant
right.
to do.
Makes
now,
you feel good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I do have one thing to say, though. With all these books and all these wild, crazy ideas that swim around in your head, do you ever sleep?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But I keep a notepad. A long time ago, I heard that Rod Serling, who did Not Twilight Zone, wrote so many of those
uh-huh.
wonderful, wonderful episodes. He said he kept a notebook by his bed
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
Whenever he would wake up and he'd get an idea, he'd write it down because
mm-hmm.
he knew he would remember it come the next
right.
morning. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing. I,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I think of something when I'm taking a shower, or which is really wonderful, you get a lot of good ideas in the shower. And when I'm taking a shower or something, I've got that notebook right by the bed so that I can write it down. To remember,
yeah.
or I'll remember
mm-hmm.
like, oh, there's a plot line I want to double check, or, you know, what if such and such happens, and I'll write it down, and so the next time I sit in front of my computer to do something, I'll go, now, what was that I was wanting to do? I can go
mm-hmm.
check my notebook.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's amazing how the mind works for us, you know. I mean, out of
mm-hmm.
nowhere, an idea for the
mm-hmm.
plot or something that, you know, you've been working an idea in your mind for the story and you just can't quite get it, and then all of a sudden, poof, there it is, you know. And
yeah,
there it is. Yeah.
Amazing.
I laughingly tell people, I say, they tell me, you know, well, where did you get this idea? And I say, for me, it's one of three places. Either I saw the picture that I wanted for the cover,
mm-hmm.
or
right.
I heard
mm-hmm.
a title that I wanted to make into a book,
mm-hmm.
or I got the book plot idea. And
mm-hmm.
so I said, if you ever talk to another author and you love one of their books, say, which one came first, the title, the picture, or the story? Because
yeah.
you might be surprised.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yep. So
very,
true.
Very true. Well, Lisa's one, she likes to have a picture to work with while she's I like to have the cover already ready. That way, like, it kind of motivates me while I'm writing. That's what Lisa's always
right.
saying.
I have it, yes. I put the cover,
yeah.
whatever I'm working on currently, I have that cover as my background on my
yeah.
screen, on
I
my computer
too.
To look at.
I do too.
But what's funny is that when you're doing fan fiction, when I would have editors get in touch with me for a story, what they would do is they would send me a picture that an artist had done and said, can you write a story around this?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that kind of gave me, that was good practice. And so I'd see this and go,
right.
I wonder what that's about. But what I always like,
that's very good.
They would give you a
too.
Picture and ask, they would say, okay, this is going to be the
mm-hmm.
cover of the book. Write
that's
a story
right.
to go with it.
Right.
And,
that's very good.
You know, and it's kind of like flash fiction is that you,
mm-hmm.
so there you have
mm-hmm.
all these different ways of writing all these different stories that all
mm-hmm.
were produced by this one picture or this
mm-hmm.
one set
right.
of words
mm-hmm.
and all. And,
now, are
yeah.
most of your books full length, or the mixture of full length and short stories, or what is your average length of your books?
The average length of my books, the average length of my book is about 50,000 words. I have some. Anything less than 10,000 is a freebie, but they're on my
right.
site. You have to go to my website to get them. I
mm-hmm.
have Carolyn's books are between 10 and 30,000. I have a
mm-hmm.
lot of books that are between 30 and 50,000, and I have some books that are over 100,000. Santa Flay is 120. Yeah, Santa Flay is 120 something thousand words. which is equivalent to two full novels. But when you're reading it, you don't feel like you're reading a full novel.
Yeah.
And my Battle Lord books are all over, you know, they're all novel length. I always thought novel length was 50,000 words, and now I've got people telling me that anything over 40 is considered novel. So
it's come down. I remember when I first got in, they said it had to be at least 60 to 70, so it's come down. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, my first novel was like 150,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. So I had to go back. Well, you know, the Where She Belongs series, so I had to go back and break it down into two books. So, but yeah, people years ago used to love the graphic novels, you know, the big books. I mean, my favorite books was the Thornbirds. You know, I love that book.
Colleen McCullough, yes.
Yes, but nobody wants to read books that big anymore. So,
you know,
I've had to force myself to go down. You know.
I've had books that were, you know, the big thick books that I would buy and read, and then there's like so much filler, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, where's all this coming from? And then you realize that maybe they didn't quite meet the word count, so their agent or their editor says you got to add more stuff to it, add more words to it, so you end up. And I think that's what's happened is that you're reading this book and all of a sudden you're coming across these chapters that really have nothing to do with the story.
Right.
And you skip them. You skip those chapters and get to the next ones that are good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, ladies, we are down to 3 minutes left on this show tonight. We've had way too much fun. Dang it, I should have set you for a longer time. See, you were worried about an hour show. But anyway, I want to tell everybody to go on her website. Like I said, you'll find her link on the Blog Talk Show here, or you can go to deadlyreads.com, and you'll find the links to her website, her Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, everything. And go on there, hook up with her, find her books, go buy her books. Authors love it when you feed them, you know, go buy the books, leave the reviews, all that fun stuff. And Linda, you have been an absolute joy tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed this time with you.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed being on the show. This is I feel very honored that you invited me on.
Well, we're going to have you back and do this again because an hour just was not enough time. But we need to cut this short because, as you know yourself, when Blog Talk says that's it, they shut you off. So. Anyway, you be safe tomorrow on your trip, and you have a good time at the show, and I wish you much success with your book, and we're going to have you back again.
I'd love to come back. I'd love to.
Okay. Well, you have a good night, okay?
Okay. Good night.
Uh-huh, you too. Good night. Take care.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, that was fun. That was fun. Okay, we've only got a little over a minute. So let's see here. Next week, we're going to have Kyle Toms on. He's another author. So we're looking forward to spending the evening with him. He'll be on Thursday evening, this Thursday, so two more days. So we look forward to having you back. Want to thank Linda again for the wonderful time, and she was a pleasure. And I guess we better call it a night, huh, Lisa, because it's going to shut off on us here.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody. It was fun.